Thanks for joining us today on the Ideas Network. Larry Mueller here. You know, it's been an eventful year for Wisconsin Public Television's Inga Wischer. She is host of Around the Farm Table. And on the show today, we'll talk with her, catch up with her, meet the show's new producer, Inga, in the studio with us today. Joining her, Colin Crowley, who's a multimedia producer for Wisconsin Public Television. So we'll be talking about the season's show, some of the guests they'll talk with, find out what's going on with Inga and maybe her barn that's getting redone. And, of course, answer all of your questions. And you'll be able to join in with your own comments for Inga and for Colin in just a minute. But Jill Nadeau has walked in. And Jill, of course, produces this program. And we've been waiting a little bit to hear the sort of the ending of a round of questioning. And I think it's something that we do here at Wisconsin Public Radio. We try to provide news and information that is important to you. And sometimes we make some changes in how we do our programming to reflect new things that are coming along. And that certainly was the case today, even during our Wisconsin Public Radio Fall Membership Drive, Jill.
That's right. That's right. Yeah? That's what we do here.
Yeah, that's what we do.
Yeah.
So we're going to make a note to you about the importance of contributing during our fall membership drive. Your gift does make a huge difference because listeners are the largest source of funding for our programs. Step up and be counted as a supporter with your gift right now. Just go to WPR.org or phone 888-202-2552. We've gone, what, 2.5 hours or 3 hours or so without asking for money?
That's correct. That's correct. So if you appreciate what you've been hearing, the fact that this is live as it happens, that is another reason for you to support WPR and what we do because of your support.
And think about it for a minute. Federal and tax dollars, they provide a lot of funding for our program, certainly. Listener support, though, is actually the biggest percentage of support for Wisconsin Public Radio programs. So if you haven't contributed yet, boy, now would be a wonderful time to do it. Just go to WPR.org or phone 888-202-2552. And you know what? I'm going to turn my attention to the lovely person in every way sitting across from me, Inga Wischer. And, well, there's a handsome guy in here, too, not me, the Colin. Colin Crowley, a multimedia producer for Wisconsin Public Television. Colin, I'll say hi to you first.
Hi, Larry. How are you?
I'm great. Thanks for coming in. Inga, it's always fun to see you.
Larry, it's been so long since I've gotten to see you in person. I've just been looking forward to this all day.
Well, I tell you what, it's always fun for me as well. I'm going to go back to Colin for just a minute because I want you, Colin, to talk a little bit about yourself and how you got involved in Around the Farm Table.
Yeah. Well, I joined Wisconsin Public Television a little over a year ago, in June of 2018. And for 10 years before that, I lived in Nairobi, Kenya, where I was a multimedia producer for an international aid organization working around the world. So I traveled around the African continent, around the world, doing this type of work, and then decided to come back to my home state of Wisconsin. Was fortunate enough to get a job with Wisconsin Public Television, which I grew up watching. And soon after I started, I was assigned to be the new producer of Around the Farm Table. So the last year has been an adventure driving around the state with Inga and meeting all sorts of interesting farmers and seeing interesting places and finding out how we could film this and tell these stories in a way that would be interesting to our viewers.
Yeah, there's so much fun to watch. If there are people who probably haven't seen the show, Inga, talk about the show.
So Around the Farm Table is a food and farming adventure.
So it is. It is.
What we do, we usually start at my small farm near Osseo with talking about what's happening day to day on the farm. And then we get to travel throughout Wisconsin and gather ingredients from local producers and farmers and really celebrate those ingredients with a recipe. And then we serve that up around the farm table.
Well, it's a lot of fun. And I know there was, you know, with farming, there's the highs and there's sometimes some lows. You had kind of a low last year a bit as it relates to your barn.
Yeah. So my husband and I were redoing our barn to put a house a creamery inside of the barn, because with the milk prices and things, we know we have to make a product out of our milk to be sustainable on the farm. So we were days away from finishing, and as luck would have it, some electrical got started on fire, and we were awoken to a mass blaze. So it was quite the deal, but we've dug ourselves out of it. We had, and then all, over the wintertime, all the other sheds fell down. So now all my bad luck is out of the way. I'll go skydiving tomorrow. I'm home free.
Oh, but the barn's coming back up?
The barn's coming back up as we speak. So it's going to be really great. It's going to be exactly what we want. We downsized to milk 8 cows now. So we're doing a micro farmstead creamery, and we'll be making a raw milk cloth-bound cheddar come spring.
Oh, man, that's exciting. Come spring.
Yeah.
And in the meantime, you are not only seen in Wisconsin, but you're seen outside of Wisconsin as well. What's that been?
That's true. I mean,
with shows out of the state, right?
Yeah. So we're now broadcast in 22 different states and Puerto Rico. And one of our biggest fans is in Puerto Rico, and every time he watches the show, he's so cute. He'll take a screenshot of himself and then send it to us, and he's like, watching my favorite show right now. And it's like so wonderful to be able to connect with so many people all over the United States.
Has that changed your approach to the show at all?
Absolutely not. No.
No.
I love Wisconsin. I love showcasing Wisconsin. And I think that no matter where people are watching from, everybody can connect back with that farm story. Everybody has some sort of a memory, or sort of, you know, it brings back this happiness when they see the farm. Unless it's an actual farmer, then they're like, oh, no, another day of getting up at 5, going all day long.
I think it also shows how much, you know, beauty there is in this state that maybe we take for granted. Somebody in a tropical island like Puerto Rico, where we would think, gosh, I would love to go spend a week on a tropical beach. This particular viewer sends messages saying, I just love watching your country life. I don't miss a show. Every Saturday it's on. So you can imagine that we're actually transporting people to these places that we have around the state.
Is the look of the show changing at all? Are you doing anything differently with Colin?
We're trying to build upon it a bit. My background is more in photography and filming. So when I came and was given the producer role in the show, one of my goals was to just, how can we make it as lush as possible? How can we really capture the beauty of the state, the beauty of these places? So one thing we've been doing that's different is we've acquired a drone, so we're filming a lot of aerial photography. We have two amazing drone operators, James Donovan and Mike Barron. And if viewers have seen shows like Wisconsin from the Air, where you're seeing all these familiar places, but
so
from
cool.
a new perspective, yeah, we're trying to build upon that kind of style. So every time we go out to a farm, we make sure to get the drone up in the air and get some new perspectives on it.
Do you run the drone, Inga?
No, I run behind the cows as they run from the drone. It's so, having a drone above your head, it sounds like a swarm of bees, and I'm still getting used to it. So I'm just kind of like, okay, wait a minute, we got to stop here. We're all going to get
And we've also found it's useful for herding cattle when we need, like, all right, we need these cows over there. So we just chase them with the drone.
We just did that the other day with that herd of shorthorn. We couldn't get them moved, so they did it with the drone.
So that's one of those behind the scenes things. I hope you got some footage of that.
Yeah, we do. We always have fun with that.
There ought to be a few outtakes here and there, and that'd be a cool one. Well, let's talk about the season for a little bit.
Sure.
What do we got?
Well, we are really excited about the season premiere. It premieres next Thursday, October 3rd at 7:30, and the season premiere episode is all about goats. So that was a subject that's close to my heart. All the time I spent in Africa, I was constantly seeing goats in all the different countries. And then when I came home, Inga and Inga's father, Rick, and I talked about it. We thought we should find some goat farmers around Wisconsin.
Mm-hmm. Because Wisconsin is the number one producer of goat's milk in the nation.
Yeah.
So we think of Wisconsin as the cow dairy state, but really we're the leaders in milk production with goats.
Yeah, yeah, that's true. And we met a wonderful goat dairy farmer in Cross Plains, Wisconsin, named Diana Murphy, who runs a farm called Dream Farm. And she milks goats and makes her own handmade cheese that she then sells to restaurants and stores around the area. Mm-hmm. And it was really neat to see that process.
Yeah, and she does a farmstead cheese, which means that all the milk comes from her farm. So she's not commingling milk from other farms. Everything comes right from her farm, and the cheese is made right there on her farm. So it's a different, it's a more artisan product.
It sounds wonderful. And, you know, we have a little clip from the show. I think it's about the goats. Let's see it.
So do you consider yourself to be a farmer?
Yeah, absolutely. When we first got goats, we bought a dozen to see if we could use them to manage natural areas, because that's what our business had done for over a decade. But now that we have hundreds of goats, I'm very much a farmer.
So do you like goats? Do you like working with them? I've always had cows, which I think are the most docile, easiest things to work with.
Over the last 20 years, we had employees for most of this time, and goats are, to some degree, easier to manage.
I wish I could teach them how to milk cows. Yeah. My whole dairy farm career, people have been saying, you should get goats instead of cows because they're so much easier to work with. And I think, boy, if my cows are out of their fences all the time, I don't think I could manage fencing for goats. They're climbing everywhere and everything.
We have cows on our own farm, and I would have to say that raising cattle is easier than raising goats.
Yeah, but the goats are so much friendlier, or they have this appeal that is just so lovely.
They have a personality. They seem to think quicker, and they seem to be more social.
Right.
They're more like a dog.
My cows will come up to me in the pasture as long as I have a little bit of treat for them, you know, and then they'll make me scratch them forever.
Yep.
But if I don't have treats, they're just like, forget it.
Yeah. I mean, we have goats that you can call individually, and, you know, some of my best friends are goats.
Well, thank you so much. This is just such an inspiration. Well,
thanks for coming out.
Well, that was another of the shows goats.
So that was another segment from that show. That was Jesse Bennett of the Driftless Land Stewardship. So Jesse, since he was a young man, has been hired to clear and rehabilitate natural areas. And he started doing it with chainsaws and, like he said, human employees. And then he realized that it's a lot easier to hire goats. They show up for time every day. You don't have to pay them anything. And so he has herds, hundreds of goats that he then leases out to the DNR, to different natural wildlife conservancies, natural wildlife areas. And the goats actually come in and clear out invasive species.
And even the prickliest, thorniest stuff, they seem to be able to eat it without any trouble.
They eat everything. My dad told me, I don't know if this is true, I'll have to ask him. When he was growing up, he had a goat as a pet, and he said he tied it to the tractor and it ate the tractor.
Maybe the tire. Maybe the tractor.
I'm still going to believe it's a true story.
Well, when we were filming, yeah, we had to cut several takes because our tripods were, we'd be filming, all of a sudden we'd notice that our shot was getting very shaky, and we'd look down, and there'd be goats yanking on the tripods.
Trying to pick stuff out of your pockets.
Tugging at our zippers and our pants. And yeah, so.
Oh. They don't know the meaning of personal space.
Yeah, that's one thing we found on this show, is that filming with animals takes a lot of patience, and they don't always do what you tell them to do.
Neither does the host, for that matter.
That's true sometimes,
too. There you go. Oh, man, talking today with Inga Wischer, host of Around the Farm Table, and Colin Crowley, a multimedia producer and Wisconsin Public TV producer of Around the Farm Table. Isn't that fun talking with them? Always fun to talk to Jill Nadeau as well, as she came rushing into the studio with encouraging news about our Wisconsin Public Radio Fall Membership Drive. Well, we always have some goals, and we try to keep them, and our goals were kind of set aside today because of the special programming that we were doing.
But you know, Larry, we have such great listeners that I will bet that if we tell them what the goal was for the full hour, we might actually be able to get it close in the next 20 minutes. What do you think?
Well, it's worth a try. We had we were hoping for 35.
35. We only have one right now, so plenty of opportunity.
We only have 34 to go here in the next 23 minutes. That's easy enough to do.
Absolutely, and all you have to do to pledge is go to WPR.org or 888-202-2552.
Just go to WPR.org or phone 888-202-2552. When you listen to talk shows on the Ideas Network, you're participating in a statewide conversation. You hear from the experts. You also hear from interesting and diverse experiences of your neighbors all around the state. And what better program for that than Around the Farm Table, where Inga and Colin get around the state, get a chance to talk to so many people in the community. Maybe you've been touched by their program. Maybe you've been touched by this program. And if you have been, I hope you'll contribute right now. Go to WPR.org or phone 888-202-2552.
Take your favorite beverage on the go with the new WPR Travel Mug. It's the perfect way to show off your love for WPR.
I would put some black tea in my travel mug, and then I would put it in my bike bag and commute to work.
I put coffee in them, and I don't wash them for at least 6 months. It gets a nice crust in there, and it's like a good pipe, you know?
I put iced tea in travel mugs. I put water in travel mugs. Travel mugs are not only for coffee. I'm just putting it out there.
Ask for your travel mug today when you give $20 a month or more. Here's how.
Just go to WPR.org or phone 888-202-2552, and I can guarantee this travel mug will not spill on your pants like my old one used to do with some regularity. Larry Mueller here with Jill Nadeau. And Jill, that's a good idea. I love it. Have you seen the travel mug?
It is nice. And you know what? I think it might not be eaten by a goat. They might not eat it, but don't put it by the goats. No, it's really, really nice. It's got a gorgeous design. It's stainless, and it's got a beautiful orange design on it that is inspired by the WPR logo, and it's for hot or cold.
And the contribution, how much do we need to contribute to receive that?
$20 a month.
Or, 20 bucks a month.
Yeah, 20 bucks a month or, you know, $240 at one time.
Yeah, one time you do it that way, too. Or you could do $100 a month. We'll still send you the mug.
We would be happy to do that.
Yeah, we're always happy to do it. And as a matter of fact, all kidding aside, any amount, really, whatever you can contribute, that is really the, we don't want you contributing more than you feel you can. But if you can afford 20 bucks a month or 50 or $100 a month, that would be wonderful. Take advantage of our gift if you can. If you can't, know that every dollar that you contribute to Wisconsin Public Radio is appreciated. I certainly appreciate it. I know Jill does, and frankly, everybody here at the station. So if you haven't contributed right now, go to WPR.org or phone 888-202-2552. Make your contribution. Any amount is appreciated, that's for sure. Well, talking about Around the Farm Table with Inga Wischer, who's the host, Colin Crowley, who's the producer of Around the Farm Table. Fun visiting with them. We're talking about what's going on with the show this season and certainly taking your questions. If you want to join in with a question or comment, maybe you've heard the show or want to comment, say something to Inga, I hope you'll join in at 1-800-642-1234 or email us at ideas@WPR.org. ideas@WPR.org. Well, got goats to think about. That sounds good. What about food? What have you got? Did you tie in some food with those goat shows? Or
we did. You know what we did for that episode? We made a stinging nettle cake. You know, the nettles are burning weed. I cook a lot with it. I love it.
Yeah.
And then we did a goat cheese frosting for it. And then we took some more, some of the nettle batter, and we put it around the cake. So it looks like a moss. It looks like a cake with moss around it. It was really neat.
Yeah, it was delicious.
It was.
Yeah, and the nettles came directly from Inga's farm. We opened the show with her harvesting the nettles herself.
I'm thinking about getting rid of the cows and just having a nettle farm. I have so many.
I think it's something people should know about in the state that nettles are actually delicious if you can get over the danger they pose to you if you touch them barehanded. If you boil them up and cook them, they're extremely nutritious.
Yes.
And especially the smaller ones. I saw a photo of you and I thought, okay, she's looking, she's in a bed of nettles here. And it's a small, I mean, the height is short.
Well, this time of year, there's too much fiber in the nettles to eat them. You know, they're just not as good. Everything in a season, right?
So that's an upcoming show. Were the cowboys in that show?
The cowboys were in a different episode. Mm-hmm. And was that fun to film? Yeah. Colin and I both got to ride horses. I got to ride without holding a camera. Colin had a camera on him on the front and had to ride kind of with no hands. These horses. Oh, boy, I just had the best time. I just want to get horses now so bad.
So we really have cowboys in Wisconsin.
Yeah, there is.
People are surprised to hear that, but we were out in Hillsboro. In fact, and do you want to tell them the story how you met these cowboys? It's a really funny story. So we were looking for cowboys.
Specifically.
And, you know, they're not. You can't just Google cowboys in Wisconsin and find it.
You can't. I mean, I Googled that a lot, Colin, before I found these guys. So we needed to find some cowboys to put into this episode, and we had some cowboys picked out, and then they couldn't do it. So I was just kind of really stressed out, and my dad and I were driving through southern Wisconsin, and he said, well, let's stop and get ice cream. And I said, I don't know if I can. I'm just so stressed out. So we stop. And I said, Dad, we're filming on Tuesday. It's Friday. We have to find somebody to fill in. I kid you not. 3 minutes later, three guys, 10-gallon hats, spurs, cowboy boots, Wranglers, the whole bit, come walking in. And I just thought, well, there you go.
It's like something from an old Western movie. The doors swing open. You see the boots and the spurs
Except
hit the ground.
Except it's not a saloon. It's an ice cream parlor.
Yeah. Yeah. So I said, hey, do you guys want to be on TV? And they said, sure. Come back to our ranch. We're just going to move some cows right now. And it's just amazing how those things work.
So these cowboys, cow and boy. Okay. So they work with cows.
They do. And what they do is... they train horses. So they train those horses to be working horses. So they're using the cows as a teaching guide for the horses. But then they also raise
beef. People will actually hire them. They kept referring to their clients. So people will lend them their horses to train their horses. And they have an arena that they practice in. So we got to film them going around the arena, roping cattle, trying to get steers to go exactly where they wanted them to go. We got some really dramatic footage of some real cowboy roping right here in Wisconsin.
That's pretty cool. You know, I know of some trainers for dogs. You know, if a guy wants a person, man or a woman, if they want their dog to become a good hunting dog, there are some trainers who they just turn the dog over to the trainer and... I don't know how much time later, here comes a dog that knows how to hunt. And so it sounds the same with these horses.
Exactly. Yeah. And, you know, they're also training for rodeo. So rodeo is a big sport that has to do with kind of the old cowboys used to do every day with riding and roping and all these different things. So they're training these horses to be in rodeos, too.
Yeah. One of their clients was a high school girl from Viroqua who gave them their horse to train it in the arena and just, like, keep it in performance shape, I guess you would say.
Yeah. So it's kind of a great way to have what a great living.
Yeah, and this man's name was
great way to work.
This was Matt Davison of Hillsboro, Wisconsin. If anybody's in that area, look him up. Really, really great guy and a great rider.
Well, let's listen to, we got a little piece from that. Let's listen to that.
What came first, the cows or the horses?
Well, I grew up on a dairy farm, but then I started training horses after that. So I've been training horses, and as I learned about different events, I became focused on the cattle events.
Okay.
So training horses went to needing cows to train the horses with.
And that's where the beef cows came in.
That's where the beef cows came in, yeah.
So what's the benefits then of working with a horse? For me, I would love to have horses on my dairy farm just because I would love to ride around and herd my cows around. But what are the benefits for some of those ranchers out there?
Well, for one thing, where we live, it's not safe to take a four-wheeler.
Yeah.
You know, some of the places are the terrain is too tough. And we teach our cows to accept the horses being around them. And it's really a lot easier for us to do herd health.
Yeah.
We're up high, we can see them better. And that's just a couple of advantages, not to mention the peacefulness is awesome.
Yeah.
Boy, it sounds like a pretty cool guy.
Yeah, he's not joking when he says the peacefulness, too. Both Inga and I got the chance to ride over a very high ridge. It probably took about 30 minutes to get from one side to the other. And to see, you know, a part of the driftless area of Wisconsin from horseback that way is really a gift. And, you know, Matt gets to do it every day.
It's an amazing job, isn't it?
Yeah. It really is.
That's the thing about the show, Larry, is we get to meet the most amazing people and see parts of the country, the state, that are just unbelievably gorgeous.
And we're going to learn some more about that as we visit with Inga Wischer and Colin Crowley from Around the Farm Table. I'm Larry Mueller here on the Ideas Network. Taking a look today at the wonderful show that you get to see on Wisconsin Public Television. It's called Around the Farm Table. Our guest today, Inga Wischer, who hosts the show, Colin Crowley, is its producer. And wonderful to have them with us. And if you've seen the show, I'd love to hear from you. Give us a call at 1-800-642-1234. Or if you have an idea for Inga and Colin about a show that they may want to pursue down the road, that wouldn't hurt either. Give us a call, 1-800-642-1234. Or you can email us at ideas@wpr.org. Somebody else is wondering about this. You know, I'm sure it's not always the case that you stop into the ice cream parlor and hear suddenly some guests pop into your lap. But I'm wondering about how you design your ideas for the show, and then a bit about the preparation that has to go into it.
Well, we find ideas through just people that we meet. We get a lot of people saying, hey, check out this farm in this area. So we kind of build a lot around interesting farms and interesting people and fun ingredients. And so that's where it's my job is easy. Colin has the really hard job, which is kind of making sense of all the footage and all that kind of stuff.
Yeah, just figuring out how to bring it all together. So one thing we're trying to do this season is really make each show about a single theme. So, for example, one theme that Inga came up with was preserving the summer. So we went around to a couple fruit farms. We met a really interesting man who grows herbal tea on his farm in Nairobi. And we talked about different ways how, especially in Wisconsin with a relatively short growing season, how do you take all that summer sunlight and goodness that is there for a couple months and make it last throughout the rest of the year? So we went and Inga gathered some currants from a couple different farms, and she made currant jam at the end of the show.
I don't see any jars of currant jam sitting here on the table.
I ate most of those. That's one of the perks of the producers. I got to take those home.
It wasn't good, Larry. Don't worry. I saved you.
So what about you, Inga? Do you compose your questions ahead of time? Do you think this through pretty carefully?
Shoot off the hip. what's great about this show, for me, what's great about the show is I'm so interested in what these people are doing. I love farming. I've been farming here in Wisconsin for about 14 or so years. So when I get to talk to these other folks that are doing value-added products on their farm or hosting tours or doing these different ideas, I'm so interested in what they're doing that I have probably 20 million questions that probably don't even make sense to someone who's watching. So they help me, Colin and my father help me kind of bring my brain back down to questions that everyone can understand. But I feel so fortunate that I get to learn so much from these folks and to continue having a relationship with them after the seasons aired, years ago. So,
and what's interesting is the feeling's really mutual. I've observed that when we go around to these places, a lot of these farmers that we go to are fans of the show. You know, if you can imagine if you're a farmer in Wisconsin, here's this show that's dedicated to telling stories about people like you. And they're really fans of Inga. So I think to have someone like Inga with all the experience she has come in and show this genuine interest in them. And these are a lot of people who spend a lot of time, out in fairly remote places. And then to have somebody come and bringing a camera crew with them and really show this interest in their life and what they do, you really see the joy that brings to people. And that's really one of the great things about working on this show.
Yeah, it has to be. Cheryl in Bayfield has a question for you. So let's go there. Cheryl, hi. Thank you for calling.
Hi, we're on the road coming down Highway 13, but I wanted to ask Inga about those beautiful dresses and aprons that she wears. They're so shockingly bright, and she mixes plaids with flowers, and I almost like to see what she's chosen to wear on this particular episode. So any comments would be great on her beautiful outfit. Thank you.
Thanks, Cheryl.
Cheryl, that is so kind. I always wanted to have a job where I could wear dresses, aprons, and rubber boots. And I just had to create that job for myself. But we find a lot of stuff at, I love thrift stores. Thrift stores, I think, are the best places in the world. So we get a lot of sort of secondhand clothes and just find things to put together. It's really fun.
And what about hats? What about that hat?
Well, you know, I traded in my straw hat for my cowboy hat. After that cowboy episode, I'm totally cowboy girl now. I
like it. It's a purple hat.
It's a felt cowboy hat. Yeah.
Yeah, it looks kind of like Minnesota Viking type. But
don't hold that against me.
I would have rather heard the. I would have seen the red. You know, like. Jill Nadeau usually shows up. We know it when it's a Badger football game day because she is dressed in red and she's got that Badger hat on. Now, today she doesn't because I guess the Badgers aren't playing today. So she's more in her Wisconsin Public Radio fall member drive.
Those are more my colors, Larry.
She's here. And you know, we have a goal this hour of 35. We're sitting at, we need about 27 more contributions in the next 5 minutes or so, which, you know what, we could actually do that with your help. Your gift, it makes a huge difference because listeners are the largest source of funding for our program. So step up and be counted as a supporter with your gift right now at WPR.org or phone 888-202-2552.
Get the brand new and stylish and practical WPR travel mug when you pledge, too. Your hot beverage will stay hot. Your cold will stay cold with this 16-ounce stainless travel mug. So support the programs that you value and show off your WPR pride wherever you go. It starts with your gift of $20 a month or more at WPR.org or at 888-202-2552.
You have a lot of bills in your monthly budget that are out of your control.
Certainly my education, but hopefully it's going to be worth it and going towards a good cause.
Rent, for sure.
Every time I turn around, my automobile insurance is increasing.
Unlike the other things you pay for, you're always in control of your sustaining membership. During this pledge drive, we ask our sustainers to consider an increase to your monthly gift. How about $5 a month? It'll go a long way to pay for the WPR programs you rely on day in and day out. Thank you for your ongoing support.
Just go to WPR.org or phone 888-202-2552 to make your contribution in support of the programs you count on. Larry Mueller with Jill Nadeau. Your support today of Wisconsin Public Radio, it keeps all of our programs you enjoy going strong. And whether your contribution is $10 a month or maybe it's $100 a month, whatever amount you choose, we appreciate and we count on your gift.
Absolutely. So if you like what we do, if you were just listening to the questioning, the congressional questioning earlier, we went live to it. You know, if that's something that you think is important to you, please give us your support. Just wanted to let you know that if you should just continue to stay with WPR and the Ideas Network, because we're going to follow all these developing stories and just tune into 1A Central Time. And of course, NPR is going to be doing a special this evening at 7 o'clock. So again, we're just giving you all the information. If you appreciate that, then please become a sustainer if you
want. That's one way to do it.
Yeah, or you can just pledge for this particular time frame. And remember, it's WPR.org or 888-202-2552.
And remember, your gift, any amount, is your chance to win the Hamilton ticket package. Two tickets to see Hamilton in Chicago. Jill and I don't get to, we contribute, but we don't get in on the tickets. But you do, and you get an overnight stay in Chicago as well, and you get dinner out. So kind of a nice little prize that we throw in for anybody who contributes at 1-800-642-1234. If you haven't done it, do it right now. Go to WPR.org or phone 888 888- 202-2552. Jill?
And, you know, we've got, I always like reading all of the comments that our donors say, and we've got one from a member who is all the way in Corrales, New Mexico, and says, it inspires me and makes my life so much better. Even though I am a sustainer, I wanted to donate a single amount because of the match in funds. So that was done earlier, but that's the kind of people that listen, you know. So thanks to Joe from Madison, Dean from Oak Creek, Jeannie from Stevens Point, and Mary from St. Paul for all your donations.
And we got a call from New Zealand here not too long ago.
We did.
I wonder if that person has contributed. There was one from Germany, too.
I haven't
heard from that person yet either. But what? Well,
Mexico.
Mexico. Mm-hmm. I'm surprised when we get those calls. But I'm not surprised when people call in with their contributions. If you've been thinking about contributing, what a great time to do it during this program. Have some great guests every day. If you go to WPR.org or phone 888-202-2552, you're going to feel so good about contributing not only to this show, but all the shows we have on WPR. We'll take a quick break, a look at the news, and then we'll be back with our guests. Stay with us. I'm Larry Mueller. Great to have you with us here on the Ideas Network. Larry Mueller here. Wisconsin Public Television will premiere the new season of Around the Farm Table coming up October 3rd. And we have a preview for you on the show today as we visit with Inga Wischer, the host of the show. She's with us. Hi, Inga.
Hi, Larry. Sorry.
I caught her unaware.
Well, the thing is that I listen to your show all the time, so I forget that I'm actually here talking to you and I'm not just driving around the farm.
Well, Colin Crowley with us as well, producer for Around the Farm Table. Hi, Colin.
Hi, Larry. Again. Thanks for having us on.
It's really fun to have you both here. It's now being aired nationwide.
Yes.
We can talk a little bit more about that. How many stations are, you know, how many places you're on?
We don't have an exact count yet. What happens is Wisconsin Public Television makes it available to PBS mm-hmm. stations all around the country, and they choose to air it. And, it's just right now we're just kind of finding out. I mean, I think Inga and her father almost on a weekly basis are getting, you know, comments on the Facebook page from new fans. And someone will go to visit family in Missouri and say, hey, I saw Inga's going to be on TV in Missouri next week. So,
yeah,
well,
it's
really
fun to hear
cool.
the, yeah.
What a surprise.
Hey, I'm the most surprised of all.
Yeah, and it's just nice to know that we're showing, you know, the state of Wisconsin is being seen in all these other states around the country.
Well, and just nice to know that we have a program of the kind of quality that we're more than happy to let people in other states. And I really think it has applicability anywhere in this country, to be perfectly honest.
Everybody eats. So, yeah. You know, it's something that we have to think about all the time, where our food is – something we should be thinking about all the time is where our food's coming from, how it's being grown and raised, how it's getting to us.
And the tenor of the show, Colin.
Yeah.
I mean, that's something that any of us can – relate to or wish we were a part of something.
Well, yeah, I mean, the tone is really set by Inga, and sometimes it can be very serious and very, you know, inside baseball questions about farming, and then sometimes it's really lighthearted and joking, and we have a lot of lighthearted, fun moments and joking around on the show. Like, what was what the cowboy told you about how you know if your stirrups were right? I don't know if you remember that.
He said, you tell
it. So Inga's sitting on a horseback, and she's saying, okay, I'm feeling, and he said, you know, they help us adjust the stirrups, and he said, well, if your knees hurt, it means the stirrups are too short. And if your hips hurt, it means the stirrups are too long. And if everything hurts, it means it's just right. It's kind of a little insight into the world of
cowboys. You know, when I was a kid, I rode horses all the time. And now that I'm getting up there, it takes a little bit of a toll out of the rear sitting on a horse for that many takes.
And yeah, and don't put your stirrups on backwards either. You run into all kinds of problems with that. But Sylvia in Clear Lake has something for us. Let's go there. Hi, Sylvia.
Oh, thanks a lot, Larry. Inga, this is Sylvia Burgos Toughness.
Hi, Sylvia.
Hi, how are you? I just wanted to say for Dave and myself that we've so appreciated your coming out to our farm a couple of times in order to tell the story of at least one small grass-fed, grass-finished beef operation in Clear Lake, Wisconsin. And we so appreciated your professionalism on this, as well as the way that you actually go out and really tell the story of the fun and the challenges that small farms all across Wisconsin have to kind of reinvent and reestablish a good food system that helps the community as well as the livestock and the environment. So thanks an awful lot.
Well, Sylvia, thank you so much for calling in. And it's such a pleasure to get to know. That was 3 or 4 years ago or maybe longer. And I've gotten to know you since. And that's the real gift to me, is being able to meet folks like you and sitting down with you and having that conversation about, hey, how do you graze this? How do you extend your season longer? And also meeting, the thing about what we do is I've been meeting the most amazing women who are farming, who are in charge of their operations, who are also promoting agriculture and promoting sustainable agriculture. And Sylvia does that as well with her own radio show. And it's so great to see what these women are doing and leading the charge for this farming.
And, you know, you think about farming, people talk about the simple life and all this and that. And in some ways, maybe it is. But you have to be a real entrepreneur to be a farmer. You have to be really creative. You work hard, but you also have to use your brain an awful lot.
Well, that's the thing. I mean, as a dairy farmer, I'm a veterinarian, I'm a midwife, I'm a soil scientist, all these different things. I still can't fix tractors, but I got great neighbors that can help me do that, thank goodness. And then you have to go promote your brand and educate everybody about what you're doing. And so we're hoping that with this show, we can help educate that public on what grass finished means, what is seasonal growing, and why this is a better product to buy.
Yeah, it's wonderful. Sylvia, thanks again. I appreciate your call very much. Well, should we take another call? Mary Beth in Neillsville, it's your turn. Hi, Mary Beth.
Hi, good morning. I just want to tell Inga how thrilled we were this early summer when she came to our son and daughter-in-law's rotational grazing operation in Neillsville. It's the farm has been in the family since 1870, and my daughter-in-law raises Murray Gray beef cattle with rotational grazing, and we were just thrilled. We were so impressed. And now I have to find out when the program will air, because I have about 50 people that are waiting for me to tell them.
That's right. This must be the Schultz family in Neillsville.
Yes, it is.
Yeah, we had a wonderful time visiting the farm and meeting the family. And your daughter-in-law was wonderful. She was carrying her baby on her back while she was helping put out fences for her cows. We'll get in touch with you directly about when that'll air. It'll be sometime in the mid-season, probably around November, but I'll definitely be in touch.
And you can feel free to tune into the other episodes, too.
Yeah, and the first one is October 3rd, right?
Next Thursday, a week from today, at 7:30 p.m.
On our Wisconsin Public Television station.
That's right. Tune in at 7 for Wisconsin Life, and then stay watching at 7:30 for Around the Farm Table.
So, Mary Beth, you'll find out sooner or later, maybe a little later than today, but, but think November-ish. So it's not that far off, really, when you think about it. It's like a month away. And
I can't believe it. Where did the summer go?
So what do you – when you – and you do shoot at different times of the year.
We do. We started filming in February of this last year. We went and did the
American Berkey Biner.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah, we visited the Berkey Biner.
Yeah, and my two youngest nephews were in the kids' race, which is, if you want to see the cutest thing ever, watch a bunch of little kids in snowsuits on cross-country skis, and just they're wiggling around and just shimmying down. It's so cute. We started filming at some different places in Duluth, and it was so cold, Larry. They kept making me do these takes where I had to walk up. We were in a full-on blizzard. My face was so cold, I couldn't move. They were like, well, you're not pronouncing that correctly. I'm like, I know, because my face is so frozen. It was so terrible. But it was really fun afterwards.
Well, you do try, and isn't that not the fact or a fact that you try and get the different seasons of the year in your
show? Yeah, we think of it as a journey across around the state and through the seasons. And, you know, farming is all about managing agriculture throughout all these seasons. So we tried to bring that in.
Yeah. It's funny. I was thinking the other day, a lot of farming is just preparing for that winter. I think, Colin, you and I have talked about that, is just getting that hay put up, getting all the feed in the barn, getting everything ready for the winter. You're spending 9 months just getting prepared
for that 3 month or 4 month period.
Yeah.
And then what do you do then?
In the winter, you have hot toddies and look at the fire burning. Read a novel.
And you do a little bit of work, too, because there's animals to be fed and plans to be made for the next year.
There's a lot of work that goes in the wintertime because it's always thawing out frozen pipes, getting water to the animals. It's always fun.
Well, there's a show coming up that talks about ramps.
And
you mentioned ramps earlier, and I want to get this in before the end of the show. There's a piece that we'll listen to about ramps, and then we comment on it as part of the show. So let's listen in.
Time. So look at all these beautiful, this is the most I've seen ramps. And for folks that don't know, what is a ramp?
They're actually a native plant in Wisconsin, and they're in the allium family, which is what onions are in, garlic is in, leeks are in. So they're a relative of onions, garlics, and leeks. And they grow wild in Wisconsin in usually north-facing maple forests. And they're a perennial, so they just come back year after year after year, and they're super delicious.
I love anything garlic. Anything that has a strong flavor, I'm all about it. And that's one of my favorite things about this is just it's really pungent. You know what you're eating
definitely,
when you're eating it.
Definitely. Yeah, you know, you get a little bit of that garlic breath, but I think it's a great thing
it's
for
worth
spring.
It.
Yeah, totally.
Have you found that wild food, especially ramps, is becoming more and more popular?
Yeah, I feel like it's getting more and more popular. I know for me, about the same time I started seeing them on menus, I was like, what are ramps? I have no idea what these are. And a friend introduced me to them who was helping with their maple syrup operation. And I had never known what a ramp was, and I was walking through them all the time in the springtime. Yeah, and I like you, I love garlic and onions and leeks and... Essentially, it's just a combination of all those things that I love.
And you had ricotta dumplings served with a ramp pesto as part of the show.
Yeah, and it's, you know, there's a lot of flavor to it. And if you're eating ramps, you better make sure that everyone else you're going to see that day is going to eat ramps because it really does have an aroma.
Well... And you pick them yourself?
You can. And it's really important, after you see this episode, it's really important to harvest correctly because there's a problem with over-harvesting ramps because now they're kind of very trendy at restaurants.
Oh.
So you really have to make sure you're doing it in a sustainable way. And Bjorn teaches us about that on the episode.
And how do you use them in a pesto? What else goes in?
Olive oil, salt and pepper, lemon juice. I put a little bit of kale in just to kind of soften it up a bit. But you can just do full-on ramps. You could put some parsley in there. But it's really just, I like that. That
you
flavor
like that,
that just punches
earthy.
You in the face when you have it. Yeah.
Colin, what'd you think?
Yeah, they're great in scrambled. Well, I didn't know what a ramp was before this episode. And then all of a sudden I found myself in a forest in Viroqua. It was literally carpeted for as far as you could see with bright green ramps. And I was lucky enough to take some home and we made scrambled eggs with them and they were delicious.
Oh, sure. Why not with scrambled eggs?
Yeah.
And you can pickle them too, which are really good.
You're just full of information, aren't you?
That's why I've got my own TV show.
Well, we've talked about a few of the shows. What are some of the other shows? Colin, maybe you can pipe in here and talk about.
Well, just last week we were up in Oneida, Wisconsin, and we were hosted by the Oneida Nation, and they showed us around their farming operations.
Oh.
So we learned a lot of fascinating stuff about how they equate their own sovereignty with their agriculture. And they have their own strain of white corn that they're the only people in the world who can grow this strain of white corn.
Wow.
And we had a great time with a wonderful chef named Arlie Dockstater, and he showed us how to cook this white corn over an open fire with handmade clay pots. So that was really a special episode. That was really a privilege to see that.
The white corn, what's its taste?
Well, it's a lot. It's not so much about the taste, it's the texture. It's a lot tougher than sweet corn. They said it's got about 20% protein. As compared to sweet corn, maybe has 2-3%.
Yeah. So it's, you know, I mean, that's a great...
So high protein.
High protein, yeah.
It's real chewy. It's really got some, you know...
And the kernels are bigger.
Mm-hmm.
But it's, I mean, hey, I'm all about getting lots of protein and being able to eat corn at the same time.
So October 3rd, and the shows run... How do the shows run?
Well, the new season starts October 3rd, and we'll run all the way through January, it looks like.
Yeah.
And there'll be some shows from past seasons intermixed with all the new episodes. We have 8 new episodes coming up. And it always follows Wisconsin Life, so just tune into Wisconsin Life at 7.
And stay right there.
Stay right there.
Yeah. Well, it's always fun to talk with you, Inga. Good to meet you and talk with you, Colin.
Thank you, Larry.
It's a great pleasure.
I
love that show. It's a wonderful show to watch. I sit there and just think, oh, man, I feel so peaceful. And then I feel so hungry near the end when you make those delicious foods that you make, which... I was hoping to see some here today, but of course I didn't. And, you know, it is National Pancake Day. And
oh, I didn't even know.
Jill Nadeau was going to bring me some pancakes, and then she completely forgot about it. But she, you know, she showed up.
I did. I did show up.
She's here. And not to bring me pancakes, but to bring you some great information about our Wisconsin Public Radio Fall Member Drive. You rely on the Ideas Network for interesting and fun discussions like we had here with Inga and Colin. We rely on you to keep programs like this one going strong.
Well, listener support is the largest source of funding for WPR programs, and that's why your gift of any amount right now makes an important difference at WPR.org or 888-202-2552.
And last hour, you know, the time was a bit abbreviated.
It was.
By quite a bit, because we were really concerned with showing and wanted to show you the hearings that were being held this morning. That's part of our responsibility. Sometimes we drop the other programming that we're doing in order to bring you something that we think you are going to find necessary and important. Now we have a goal of 20 contributors in the next 8 minutes or so, and I hope we can meet it. We've got a couple of people already, Jill, who have called in.
That's right.
What about you? You can become a part right now at WPR.org or at 888-202-2552. Call now. Make your contribution.
WPR is listener powered. So that means that these goals, you probably hear about them all the time. Well, they're really important. They help us stay on track so that we can fund the programs that you count on, like this one.
Yeah.
So do your part now at WPR.org or 888-202-2552.
You might not have a life coach. I use Jill as my personal life
coach. Yes, and you're one of my best, my best clients, Larry.
I'm probably the best paying client she's got.
Yeah.
Anyway, oh, man, you might not have a coach like Jill, or you may be not a Wisconsin farming and food expert, for that matter, on speed dial. That's okay. When you listen to this program and other shows on the Ideas Network, you get great advice from all kinds of experts. And what's the cost? Well, you can choose yourself. The Ideas Network, source for helpful information. Support it right now at WPR.org or at 888-202-2552.
And remember, this member drive, we have an exciting drawing for tickets to see Hamilton in Chicago. That includes dinner and an overnight stay, and there's no contribution is necessary. You can see all the details at WPR.org/drawing. But better yet, you're automatically entered when you make a donation of any amount right now at WPR.org or 888-202-2552.
Thinking about the show that we've just finished, more or less, with our two guests, Inga Wischer and with Colin. And it reminded me of how much fun we have during this time period, how much good information. We talk about physical therapy sometimes. We talk about books a fair amount. We talked about fall insects a few days ago, best times to travel, what whatever it is, we're here for you and we're watching for the latest information on topics that interest you. So I hope you'll invest in your future listening. Just contribute now at WPR.org or at 888-202-2552.
And think about the first time that you discovered Wisconsin Public Radio. And whether it's been a few years or just a few months since you found us, your contribution of $10 a month or $120, it supports the quality program that you've valued since the first time you listened. So be part of making WPR possible. Give now at WPR.org or 888-202-2552.
I'm Margo Potacek, and I'm from Madison, Wisconsin.
And I'm Betty Potacek from Madison.
I grew up listening to Wisconsin Public Radio, and I listen at home. It's on the radio when I wake up. I listen in the car on my way to and from work on the weekends when I'm cleaning, rarely, but I listen to it then.
I walk an hour a day, so when I'm walking, I listen to WPR on my phone. I used to listen to books. I'd download them, but I'm finding that listening to WPR, that's when I'm getting these topics that I didn't know that I was interested in.
Give now so you can hear more of the programs you love. Go to WPR.org and click Donate. Thank you.
Or you can call 888-202-2552 and make your contribution. You know, this whole business about stopping, I was listening to WPR and I had to drive into a parking ramp and I had to go down.
Yep.
And so I'm going down the ramp and I've lost the station. So I stopped in the ramp and I looked in the rearview mirror to see if anybody was coming. Nobody was coming behind me. So I just sat there on the ramp and listened to what I was talking about. Oh. Maybe that's happened to you. And if it has, one of those stop the car moments, or even if it hasn't.
Hopefully not in traffic.
Yeah, hopefully not in traffic. If you're listening and supporting Wisconsin Public Radio means something to you, this would be a wonderful time to do it. Just go to WPR.org or phone 888-202-2552.
And we've got 2 minutes left to this hour, so we're looking for 17 more people to join in. Your gift is so important right now because, you know, when you give, you support programs that you rely on every day.
So join your friends and neighbors who believe in the value of WPR, believe in supporting it. It takes the support of, I think there's about 50,000 members to Wisconsin Public Radio, and we have about 400,000 listeners that tune in every week. Yeah, lots of people. And some people just can't afford it.
Sure.
And maybe you can. And if you can, I hope you will take the time to do it right now. Support this program. Support all the programs that you enjoy. Go to WPR.org or phone 888-202-2552. Always wonderful to be able to talk to Jill and to be able to talk to you. I really enjoy doing this program. And Jane and Jill and I spent a lot of time thinking about what programs will be the best. We love to hear from you, and we get lots of tips from you about the great shows that you think we should do, and we follow up on those programs. Our goal is to have a lot of fun, but also to have you take away something that you're going to be able to use in your daily life, or maybe just get a chuckle out of once in a while.
That's key.
If that's you, go right now to WPR.org or phone 888-202-2552 and make your contribution. If you've already contributed, thank you so much. If you haven't, do it right now. WPR.org or 888-202-2552. I'm Larry Mueller.